thank everyone for being here this morning, and there's some who are far away from home, and we're happy to have you, so you're welcome anytime, and we encourage you to be back tonight if at all possible. At that time, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Turn with me to that. And that's where Paul was before Felix and Drusilla, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. So there that Felix trembled. But oftentimes when we're trying to teach someone the gospel, we're reasoning, using righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, they'll accuse us of judging them. And people will likely go to Matthew chapter 7, and they will accuse us of judging. So just think about it. When they accuse us of judging, they're making a judgment, aren't they? Ever thought about that? And turn with you to Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. And there Jesus talks about judging, not that we not are not to judge, but how we're to judge. And how not to judge. He says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge shall be judged. With what measure ye meet shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He's teaching that we're not to judge hypocritically, is what he's teaching. So he's not teaching us not to judge, but how to judge. Because in Matthew chapter 7, in our lesson today, entitled Pigs, Dogs, Pigs, and Pearls, in verse 7 or 6 there, he says this. He says, give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So he's not talking about four-legged dogs or four-legged pigs, but two-legged ones. So we have to be able to judge or make a judgment as to when we're given that that's holy to those that don't really deserve it or don't want it versus those that do. So we have to make a judgment, don't we? We have to make a judgment. So we have to be able to discern that. So of dogs, pigs, and pearls, in the context, it says the judgment is of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, all judgment is not wrong, as Jesus teaches. We have to determine, and we have to ask ourselves, we have to judge who are the dogs and who are the pigs. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 24, that not to judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So our judgment can be based on God's word and our interaction with those that we're trying to save. In Luke chapter 13, we see where Jesus made some judgments. And Jesus often called, and I use this phrase here, he called apples apples and oranges oranges, didn't he? He called Herod a fox, referring to a slyness. And as deviousness. You know, fox is kind of sly and devious and slippery. But the Pharisees and scribes he labeled when he rebuked them in Matthew chapter 23. He rebuked them and labeled them as hypocrites, as blind guides, as whited sepulchers, and a generation of vipers. Jesus was making a judgment, wasn't he? So sometimes we have to make various judgments. J.W. McGarvey said in his commentary, he said he, a Christian, must know, he must know dogs and swine when he sees them. He must not treat them as priests and kings, the fit objects for the bestowed or bestowal of holy food and goodly ornaments. We are forbidden, then, to use any religious office, work, or ordinance in such a manner as to degrade or profane it. Saloons ought not to be open with prayer, nor adulterous marriages to be performed by a man of God. give pearls to swine is to press the claims of the gospel upon those who despise it, until they persecute you for annoying them with it. When such men are known, they are to be avoided. It's McGarvey's comment in his commentary of the Fourfold Gospels. See, dogs, when we think about dogs, real dogs, you know, dogs don't care where the meat comes from, do they? As long as you give them the meat or the food that they want. Swine can care less if pearls are below their feet. But there are men and women who could care less about heaven's riches than God's holiness. Isn't that right? So what more do pigs, pearls, and dogs teach us? So we want to talk about that this morning. First of all, they teach us discernment. You know, we're given the charge to discern between a genuine prospect and a pig or a dog. We're not to place God's pearls before those that are not interested. We are to place God's pearls before those who are interested. And not to do that is sinful for us. Now, spending too much time with a pig or a dog is likewise not being a good steward of God's pearls. It's just wrong not to use time when we should. It's wrong to use time when we should not. So we have to make that discernment, don't we? We have to make the proper discernment. So we need to recognize that we have limited resources, and our time and our is of value, and it's important that we use our time as we should. We're to redeem the time because the days are evil, Paul said. So we need to recognize that we have these limited resources. You know, the truth with your life, time, energy, and opportunities of God's pearls, of which we're to be good managers of. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, he said, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another, without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. For to him, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So to spend time then with a pig is not time you're spending with a person who really wants the holy pearls. See, holy meat given to a dog is holy meat not given to a person who wants to know God's truths. Jesus teaches also protection and that discernment. So we need to discern God's word. And in our text again, he says the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered. Oh, I got the slide out of order here. It was gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Matthew 13, 47 and 48. So what's the point of this? Those that were cast, they threw some away. Every variety of character will be gathered by the gospel net. We have to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, or who are interested and who are not. In all fairness, this passage explains that the angels of heaven will separate the wicked from the just. So there are wicked men who will be attracted to the gospel, will escape the radar of the just, us, in this day, but will not escape the judgment of God. See, sometimes you just can't tell. It's hard sometimes. In Matthew chapter 6, again our text, we see where Paul said this, or Jesus said this. He says, "Give not that which is holy to dogs." Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So it protects us. Some people have the idea we just got to tell them one more time. Keep on until they get angry at us. So we must realize when we're not making progress. Now, Dean Blackwell, most of us know, up in Oregon, he had studied with a fellow over a year. Answered all the guy's questions that he studied with. He said he hasn't obeyed the gospel yet. I said, well, got to go to this verse right here, Dean. You have to make the judgment. You have to make the judgment. You know, can you spend better time with someone else that really is a better prospect than that individual? It might seem cruel at times that we have to just cut it off. We're talking to some individuals about God's Word, and when they reject everything you say and they have the attitude of they just want to argue and debate. You know, a lot of people are professional debaters. And sometimes we get questions on our website where people just they want to argue. They don't want to study, just argue. Had that happen recently. So we must realize when we're not making progress, we have to respect what we're throwing before those that are the pigs or the dogs. And that is, we're giving them the gospel. They have a distaste for it. Next, there's the principle, the pigs and pearls principle, an age-old principle. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. The text is there for some people. There, he said, for he that reproves a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. You think about some of the case of conversion. Who did they go to? They went to those that were interested in the gospel, didn't they? Now, we talked about last Sunday, we talked about the Ethiopian treasurer, and he was one who was reading the scriptures, and Philip was sent to him by divine direction. Cornelius, he was a just man, one that feared God and prayed always. The Lord sent Peter to the house of Cornelius. So oftentimes we see where those in the first century would go to those who were interested in God's Word. Many people were not. But there's a focus, I think, on those that were interested, those who were not pigs, were not dogs, but they were people who wanted to know the gospel. And for some people, there's no good that comes from conversation with them. It's only hurt. It's naive to think that if we just get the truth out there, if I could just have it to the assembled masses, make it available to the assembled masses, then the masses will, upon hearing the truth, convert to Christ. It just doesn't work that way. Rather, I want to get the word out to the masses because I'm fishing for those good and honest people. So we have to send the word out, plant the seed to every place we can, because we're seeking those who have an honest and good heart. And how many have you studied with? How many have you had contact with? Where when you look back at it, nothing was brought forth. No fruit born. Only you benefited by the efforts that you make to teach God's Word. So we're seeking wise men. Those who are in love with foolishness will have no use for the truth. And so we have to search for the honest and the good hearts. And even those seeds fall amongst the thorns, amongst the rocks, amongst the hardened paths. We have to plant the seed, don't we? We have to plant the seed. And when fools are corrected with the gospel, sometimes they lash out with verbal insults, and that's the warning here. So how do we know when one is a pig? How are we going to know that? Well, I'll give you an idea. When you hear them snort against your message, okay? When you see a lack of interest in the time you're spending with them to share with them these spiritual truths. Well, Jesus said, you should know them by their fruits. He said, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? So we can know them by what the product is that comes from our efforts. We can know by their reaction, by what they say, how they react to what we try to bring forth to them. When Jesus warned his disciples, he said before, or behold, in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so he told them to shake the dust off their feet when they went to a house that rejected their teaching. Don't waste your time there. Go to someone else who will likely respond in a better way. So, a lot of people gave us a sign that they'd rather be doing something else than spending time with us trying to learn or teach them the gospel. So it's ironic that people in our society who boast the most about their open-mindedness are probably the most closed-minded people that we have to deal with. And apart from being open-minded, you know, the homosexual activist, the abortion advocate, the promoter of pornography are all scoffers and are closed-minded to the truth. They say we're not accepting, and neither are they. Sometimes you'll find yourself severely rebuked, hated, challenged when you attempt to reason with them concerning the scriptures. But what about this disciple who is walking with wolves and torn by wild swine? You know, the Bible teaches us that we're to go to try to seek and save the lost, aren't we? Now, Jesus taught us and taught his disciples and told a parable over in Luke chapter 15 about the parable of the lost sheep. So we're to make every effort. It's wrong for us not to try to teach and spread God's word. Even though we come in contact with those who have no interest in it. In Luke chapter 15, beginning, we'll start at verse 3. Then he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So we see where Jesus taught parables related to this question we're talking about today. Over in Ezekiel chapter 34, we see, and if you have the time, when we studied this, read Ezekiel 34. We have those that Ezekiel talks about, and this chapter is filled with fright, judgment, comfort, and emphasis of their failures. And God didn't take it lightly. If we turn a blind eye on every soul that is lost, Notice verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 34. He said, "The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." So he's talking about their leaders, how they didn't lead properly, they didn't go and seek the lost, they didn't guide them as they should. In verse 5, he said, "They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they become meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." So they were lacking teaching, lacking encouragement, lacking guidance. And in verse 15, he says, "I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment." So one can be driven away. But we need to go and seek those that are lost. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 51, he said, and David here is recounting and praying, asking forgiveness after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. But he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." We need to see those, as Paul saw those in Thessalonica before the Lord, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. He said, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown, or rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" That's what he hoped for. He said, "For ye are our glory and our joy." So Paul commended those in Thessalonica. He desired them. He wanted them to see the Lord. That's what he wanted. But over in John chapter 6, we have this concept of the pigs and the pearls modeled. And Jesus encountered those of his day who just sought him for their own selfish benefit. Over in John chapter 6, we see where Jesus speaks to the multitude that fed the 5,000 there, beginning at verse 10. Then he withdrew himself in verse 15, and they wanted to make him king. Verse 26, he rebukes them sharply because they sought him because of the food that they ate. Notice, he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And a lot of people today, they're seeking a religion that will satisfy them, that will give them all the thrills that they're looking for. They hear less about the truth. They just want the fine food and frolic. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Jesus was able to discern this. He saw what they were really desirous of. And today, many are like that as well. You see that in religion today. Then he said in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life." He's talking about the spiritual food as opposed to the physical food, "which the Son of Man shall give to you. From him hath God the Father sealed." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you may believe, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread to eat from heaven." So when they asked what sign that he had just showed them, fed the multitude, didn't he? That should have been sign enough. He fed the multitude, the 5,000. It's interesting, when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, he always had more left over than he started with. You ever thought about that? We see where folks were focused on the physical. They were focused on what they wanted. They were focused on the physical food, and Jesus was able to see that. Then in verse 41, he offered them spiritual bread to their disliking. He said in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he had said, "I am the bread which cometh down from heaven." They didn't like that. And then we see where the people find him, and Jesus rebukes him because of that disliking of the they didn't like what he said about the physical bread, the spiritual bread rather. But those who won't hear, learn, are the dogs and the pigs. They are those who won't come to Christ. Notice verse 45. He said, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." There are those who really have not heard and learned. They rejected his teaching. And Jesus said they were the dogs and the pigs. And then he uttered a hard teaching that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now Jesus makes his argument clear that he made to them. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood was to abide in him. Abiding in Jesus was to abide in the Word of God, to receive the spiritual food that he offered, but they rejected it. Those who did not abide in Jesus' Word did not have the love of God, and neither did they believe God. John tells us that we may precisely know who it is that's truly in him, and we can know who's not in him by their obedience to the truth or not. Those who obey and follow the teaching of Jesus, they're in him. See, Jesus knew that the law of Moses imposed a ban on drinking of blood, didn't they? They knew that. And even prohibited eating meat with the blood still in the flesh. Nevertheless, knowing this, he makes that shocking statement where he said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And some left him, and he uttered this hard saying, this hard teaching. They followed him no more. They turned away. Verse 46, who were they? They turned away. They were the dogs and the pigs. When we teach that you can't be saved by just believing, accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, what a lot of people do, they turn away, don't they? They're not like the Ethiopian eunuch, when he saw water after Philip preaching him Jesus, said, "See, here is water. What does it mean to be baptized?" They don't have that attitude. And he asked, "Why can't I be saved like the thief on the cross?" They're always trying to get around what God's Word plainly teaches. Same thing occurred in Jesus' day. As we think about this application, we can make application of this. Jesus refused to do a miracle. There are those who came to him and sent to him, and they wanted to see a sign from heaven. And he answered some of them, "When is it evening? You say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowing. Is it, O ye hypocrites? You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, who left them and departed." So Jesus did so many miracles. He proved, the apostles proved with signs and wonders, that they had an inspired message. In Luke chapter 23, When Herod saw Jesus, he wanted to see him do a miracle. That's all he wanted to see. He didn't want to hear the truth of God's word. He wanted to see a miracle. He had heard about the many things that he had done. But when he questioned Jesus, Jesus answered him not a word. Jesus knew what he was up to. He knew. Over Matthew chapter 10, the disciples were told to shake the dust off of their feet when they were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said, in whatsoever city or town ye enter into, inquire who in it is worthy. That is, who will accept God's word? Who is likely to accept God's word? And there abide till you go hence. Or since. And then when you come into a house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that city, shake off the dust of your feet. When Paul and Barnabas were on the first missionary journey, they were in Antioch of Pisidia. And they saw what we're talking about. There were those who, even though Paul and Barnabas preached and spread the gospel to everyone that they came in contact with, there are those who rejected it. And Paul said in verse 46, when Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first been spoken to you, but seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They went to those who would accept it. There's another application we can make. If a person will not eat, now here's an application, they should not, or work that should not eat, should they? Just separate and those that are diligent versus those that are not. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. See, God doesn't take too kindly people who are lazy. He doesn't like that. Neither can we be lazy. So these are various applications of that we can make. As we think about the pearl of great price, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, the text says there, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He could see the difference. So the way I view the pearl of great price, God's message of the gospel, it determines whether I'm a pig or a merchant. This merchant sold all he had and bought it. He sold it all, didn't he? He sold all that he had and bought it. So it determines what we are. How we view the pearl of great price. Only one pearl of great value. That pearl of great price represents the kingdom of heaven, doesn't it? And it's never at a discount price. Full price was paid. He sold all that he had and purchased it. He didn't try to negotiate a price. When you're going to have some job done, you ask, I've asked, you know, give me a senior discount. Give me your best price. This man didn't ask for the best price. He paid whatever the stated price was. He was willing to pay what was necessary. So it's not enough to simply admire the pearl, but we must buy it at full price. See, a lot of people buy it, or they want to buy it, but they're not willing to pay the price. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, verse 22, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. See, it required all that he had. It required full commitment. And there were other pearls, weren't there? This implies there were other pearls. There are the kingdom's domains, but they fail in comparison to the kingdom of heaven. One can live without the other beautiful pearls in life, but these will not get you to heaven. Only the pearl of great price, God's word, his truth, will get us to heaven. We have to buy it for the full price. That's the lesson, brethren, and I appreciate your kind attention, because this is sometimes hard for us when we're trying to teach someone and we just get frustrated when we're trying to teach someone that rejects it, and we actually spend too much time when probably we could go to someone else who received the word and we'll have joy over them who accept it. But before we close, you know, every opportunity is the right one, and we have an opportunity here to extend the Lord's invitation. And now, what must we do to be saved? The alien sinner, and this is a question asked by the Philippian jailer, the alien sinner must hear the gospel of Christ, believe it, repent of their sins, confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. As we talked about this morning, Christians do sin. And when we sin, and when we err, we need to repent and pray, a sign of soul to do over in Acts chapter 22, when he said, repent and pray, perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Then, children of God must live faithfully unto death, and we'll receive that crown. We must live in the face of physical death and threats that we might encounter as we go about our daily lives serving God. And if we're faithful unto death, even to the point of our life being threatened, that's what that means in that verse, we'll receive that crown of life. He said, John said, there fear none of these things that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast them of you into prison, that you may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. In other words, there's an end of that tribulation. There'll be an end to it. But if I be thou faithful in this, I'll give thee a crown of life. There's no end to eternal life. It's eternal. So we have to sometimes deal with persecution for a short period of time, receive that right reward that's eternal. During the way subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge you to stand, and together we stand and sing the song that you've been selected. Shall we stand while we sing?